Amen. We're doing the book of Hosea, and we're up to the last pasuk in what's called the 12th chapter. The Navi had been talking to the Jewish people, begging them to return, and saying, how could you ignore me? How could you think that your wealth is your own doing? Look at your history. Who brought you this far? I took care of you. I took care of Yaakov, your forefather. I took care of Moshe, and I sent Moshe to take you out of Egypt. How could you ignore the fact that I'm taking care of you? I brought you this far. How could you ignore me in your lives? The Navi continues, Pasuk Tetvav. Hichis Ephraim tamurim V'damav alav yitosh v'cherpato yashiv lo Adonav. Hichis Ephraim tamurim. Ephraim, the northern 10 tribes, when they are belligerent, they are aware of my existence, they are aware of the role I played in their history, and nonetheless, they continue to do actions which I've told them to cease doing. Hichis Ephraim. So they've angered God with their actions. Tamrurim. And so they will be embittered. Vidamav. And the blood that the northern tribes spilled. Alav Yitosh. Hashem says they will spread over Ephraim. They will be avenged. V'cherpato, and their blasphemy, yashiv lo Adonav, God says He will pay them back for that. What's the blasphemy? Good morning, Asher. Good morning. You have good cake and coffee up here. Don't hesitate. So v'cherpato, their blasphemy, that they took the golden calves, they worshipped the golden calves instead of me, Hashem says, I'll pay them back for that. Kedaber Ephraim retet nasahu beYisrael. When Ephraim, historically, when they spoke in awe, so to speak, shivering, that's when they became great. How did Ephraim ever attain their greatness? How did the northern 10 tribes seed from the union? How did they become their own entity? Well, it all began the morning of the building of the temple. We had built the temple, and the morning after the great inauguration, all of the Jews have gathered to sacrifice, and Shlomo's wife, the daughter of Pharaoh, decides that she wants to have more time with him, and that the Jews should wait because she wants to have him with her intimately. So Paro's daughter tricks Shlomo. She has her servants cover the ceiling and coat it with copper and make forms of shiny glittering like it's the stars. And the morning comes and Shlomo looks up and he thinks it's dark night. He sees glittering like stars. He wasn't aware that she had tricked him in changed the ceiling. There was no longer a skylight. There were no longer windows. He thinks he's looking out, and it's pitch black night. So he looks. Still dark. I guess I didn't sleep. Goes back to sleep. Looks. It's pitch black dark. Goes back to sleep. Gets out of bed 3 hours into the day. Goes out, and all of the Jewish people had come at the crack of dawn to bring the sacrifices. All the Jewish people are gathered waiting 3 hours for him to come because he had the keys to the Beit HaMikdash with him. And they couldn't begin the service of the Beit HaMikdash. They only brought the Tamid, the morning sacrifice, 4 hours into the day. When the Mishnah says one may pray the morning prayer until 4 hours into the day, that is derived from that morning. That morning was the only time in Jewish history when they waited that late. Ordinarily, they'd bring the morning sacrifice early, right away when the morning began. Whoever waited until 4 hours into the day. Now, Shlomo did a few things in honor of Paro's wife. He changed the gates. He changed the way the Jews had to take a longer route in order to enter the temple, because he built up a palace for Paro's wife that crossed their thoroughfares that entered the temple. And Yerubim ben Nevat stood up and started wagging his finger at Shlomo. All of the Jewish people are here waiting to bring the sacrifice, and you sleep late till 4 hours in the day. No one else dared speak to Shlomo. Yerubim ben Nevat, who was a huge tzaddik at that point in time, huge Talmud Chacham, he stands up and he starts rebuking Shlomo. How could you do this? Kedaber Ephraim reteit. When Ephraim spoke shivering in anger, Nasahu b'Yisrael, so he became a leader in Israel. Yerubim ben Nevat, he took charge of the situation. No one else dared say anything. Yerubim said, no, Shlomo, you're wrong. Shlomo, you did wrong. So he rebuked Shlomo. Shlomo erred by mistake. No one was going to rebuke him. Yerubim ben Nevat did. And so he became a leader in Israel. What happened when he became king? He didn't err by mistake. Yerubim ben Nevat willfully and purposely set up golden calves to ensure that the Jews would remain under his control. When he became king over the northern empire, he said, I have to ensure they don't go back to the temple in the southern empire. So how am I going to do that? He set up golden calves, got the Jews to start worshipping idols. So the Navi says, look at your history, Ephraim. Where did it all begin? You got your greatness because you dared speak up and speak up for the sake of God. Kedaber Ephraim retet, when Ephraim spoke with shivering anger on behalf of God, Nasahu b'Yisrael, he became a great man in Israel. Vayesham b'Baal, and then he himself sinned, leading the Jews to idol worship, the worship of the Baal, Vayamot, and he died and he was declared not to have a portion in the world to come altogether. Yerubim ben Nevat is one of the Rishon that we say caused all of the Jewish people to sin, and he doesn't have a portion in the world to come. What? Pasuk Bet. What's called the 13th chapter, Pasuk Bet. So, if we think about it, really there's a very interesting message here. Very often we're very zealous, so to speak, on behalf of God, and sometimes we might even be on the level that we're really zealous on behalf of God. But when we ourselves are put to the test, when Yerubim is in Shlomo HaMelech's shoes, when he actually becomes the king, he does 10 times worse than Shlomo. Shlomo made a mistake. Someone tricked him. Yerubim ben Nevat willfully and purposely led the Jews to idol worship for his own sake.
From where is this about Shlomo?
It's a medrash. The Rabbeinu Yonah quotes it in Brachos on that Mishnah in the 4th chapter. It's a medrash.
But from where it's made, no foundation.
So you have to look at the in the psukim over there. There are allusions to the idea. The ata yosifu lachato vayasu lahem masecha. מכספם כתבונם עצבים מעשי חרשים כולו. And now that generation, the generation the prophet Hosea is speaking to, יוסיפו לחטא. They continue to sin. They add salt to injury. It's not enough that they have the golden calves that Yerubim ben Nevat set up for them. So for centuries now, the northern 10 tribes have been worshipping those golden calves. And now, says the Navi, they've gone beyond that. They've added to their sins. Vayasu lahem. They each made for themselves in their own home a private idol. Masecha, a molten idol. Mikaspam, from their silver. Kitvunam atzabim, like the shape of the idols that Yerubim made. They made miniature figurines in their own homes to worship. Masecha rashim kulo. When, in fact, they took it to skilled craftsmen to replicate. Ma'aseh harashim, it is the work of skilled craftsmen kulot, and their whole intent is to mimic the idols that Yoram ben Nevat established. Lahem heim omerim, to them, to these calves, to these golden calves that they worship, they say, Zovechei Adam Agalim Yishakun. If someone kisses them, it's as though he sacrificed a human being before them. It's like he did the greatest worship. So a person says, in order for me to kiss the idol at every opportunity, I make the miniature idol in my own home because it's so precious if I kiss the idol. And that's a nice understanding in the Pasuk. Rashi learns that the priests used to tell the worshippers, if you slaughter your children before this idol, then it's as though you've kissed the idol. You want to find favor in the eyes of this golden calf, you have to slaughter your children before them. And people used to literally slaughter their children, the northern 10 tribes. Zovechei Adam, and that's the simpler reading of the Pasuk. He who slaughters a human being before our golden calf, the priests would say, Agalim Yishakun, the calves will kiss you. That's how they appreciate you. Lachein. And therefore God says, because they have gone these pagan ways, Yiyu Kahanan Boker, they will be like the clouds in the morning. You wake up in the morning, you see some clouds, you know that as the sun rises, they will dissipate. So too, Hashem says, the northern 10 tribes, they will be like the clouds in the morning that are quickly scattered by the sun. V'chatal mashkim holech. And like the dew, that as the sun rises, it evaporates. Kimotz yisoel migorin. Just like the chaff that you throw to the wind and the wind blows it away. Uch ashan me'aruba. And like the smoke coming out of the chimney, that the wind causes it to dissipate and be scattered, so too the northern 10 tribes, like the cloud, like the dew, like the chaff, like the smoke, will be scattered. Ve'anochi Adonai Elohecha me'eretz Mitzrayim. And I, says Hashem, I am Hashem your God. I took you out of Egypt. Remember the first of the 10 commandments. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem your God. I took you out of Egypt. Why did you rebel against me? I took good care of you. Ve'lohim zulati lo teda. And I told you, and you accepted the 10 commandments. I told you, do not accept any potent being other than myself. Umoshiyain bilti, and there are none who could save you other than me, Hashem says. Who are you going to turn to? Ani edaticha bamidbar. I took note of you in the desert. I took care of everything you needed. Be'eretz tal uvot, in that land where it was dry and arid, you couldn't have lasted. 2 million people in the desert can't last. I took care of your needs. Kemaritam vaygisbahu savu vayarom libam. And then when they came to a place that was fertile, I brought them to the land of Israel. Then they got satiated of all the good. Then they became proud. Savu, when they were satiated, vayarom libam, then their hearts rose. They became haughty. Alkein shechechuni. And that's why they've allowed themselves to forget me, God says. I made it good for them. When it's good for them, they forget me. But God says, I will be unto the Jewish people like a young lion. In Hebrew, we have 10 terms for the lion. Ari, Aryeh, Ariel, Shachal. So Shachal is a young lion. So Hashem says, I will pounce upon them like a young lion who is coming to devour its prey. Kenamer al derech Ashur. Like a leopard that looks out on the path to see where he's going to find his prey. So too I will look at the ways they go to ensure that the 10 tribes will be destroyed. Ashur over here is understood like a play on words. Ashur is the Assyrian Empire that's coming to destroy them. Ashuk is will look out. In Aramaic, the word shur means to look, to see. So Hashem says, Kinamer al derech, just like the leopard stands by the path, Ashur, I will look onto their path. Shur in Aramaic means to see. I will look onto their path to destroy them. Ef geshem kedov shakul, I will meet them on their path to harm them like a bear whose children have been killed. The bear is most zealous in protecting its cubs. And I, Hashem says, I will be like a bear whose cubs were killed. I will come take revenge. Vekra segol libam. And just like a bear, you know how a bear kills? He sticks his two claws into a person's chest, tears apart his ribs, tears apart his heart. So to Hashem says, Ve'ekra, I will tear open segol libam, the thing that encloses their heart, their chest. God is continuing the mashal of a bear. Ve'ochelim sham kelavi, and there where I find them, I will consume them like a lavi, like a young lion. Lavi is another name for a lion. Chayat hasadeh tivakeim, the wild animals of the field will destroy them. Hashem says, just as the wild animals destroy their prey, so too I will set up, so to speak, wild animals, enemies to come and destroy the 10 northern tribes. Shichetcha Yisrael, kivi ve'ezrecha. Hashem says, you Israel, you harmed yourself. Kivi, for within me is contingent ve'ezrecha, your assistance. If you'd have only turned to me, Hashem says, none of this would have happened. Shichetcha, who destroyed you Israel? Yisrael, you yourself are your own destruction. You didn't have to be destroyed. You brought the destruction upon yourself. Ehi malkecha eifo, v'yoshiacha b'chol arecha. Hashem says, I am willing to be your king forever. Ehi, I will be malkecha, your king. But you're not willing to have that. You've established your own king. How's he going to help you? Eifo, where is the king that you established? V'yoshiacha, let him save you b'chol arecha, throughout your cities. V'shofitecha asher amalta tinali melech v'sarim. Where are the judges you asked for? I gave you a prophet. I gave you the capacity to be faithful to me. You said, no, we want a king. You wanted to distance yourself from me. Well, where are those kings? Where are your leaders? What have they done to you? They've destroyed you. Where is your king now? Eten lecha melech be'api ve'kach be'evrati. Just like when I gave you a king, it was in anger because you didn't ask for the right intent. Eten lecha melech, I've given you a king be'api, out of anger. When the Jews ask for a king, Shmuel tells them, you've sinned. They're entitled to ask for a king. What's wrong? They asked with the wrong intent. They asked because they wanted to distance themselves from God. Let us have someone else, not a prophet. Let's have a king where we could work things our way. So Hashem says, I've given you a king in anger, and by the same token, I'll take him back in anger. I keep looking for a good pasuk to end with.
That's
not so easy here.
What's the break there for?
What do you mean?
Isn't there a samach?
I don't have a samach here. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so we got to do 5 more psukim if we want to end on a good note. Maybe we'll pause here and we'll have to do that next week. Ah, move forward. Okay.
First of all, it's not very good that we are continuing.
Okay.
5 more to end on a good note.
Yeah. Okay. So the Navi continues. Tzarur avon Ephraim, tzifuna chatato. Ephraim, don't think I've forgotten your sins. Tzarur, I have encased, I have tied in avon Ephraim, the sins of Ephraim. Tzifuna chatato, his sins are concealed by me. I'm just waiting for them to complete their sins. Very often God does not punish a person right away or a nation right away. God says, wait, we'll give them a chance to repent. Either they'll fill up till capacity. When they hit capacity, there's a certain capacity that God says, when they've sinned this much, then I'll destroy them. And until that point, they have a chance to repent. That's what God tells Avram. You can't have the land of Israel yet. Ki lo shalem avon emori adeina. The Emori that are living here, as sinful as they are, they haven't reached capacity yet. When they'll reach capacity, then I'll kick them out of the land. But at this point, they haven't sinned enough to be deserving of exile. So Hashem says, don't think that I'm letting you go. Even though things are good so far, the sins are being held on to. I'm keeping an accounting. Chevlei yoleida yavohu lo. They will have the pains of birth pangs. Huvein lo chacham. He is a son that is not smart. He doesn't look to the future. He doesn't look to what will happen when he will sit on the birthing stone, so to speak, and then he won't be able to give birth. He won't have the capacity to deliver. Hashem says there will come a time where it'll be sink or swim. There'll come a time like a woman on the birthing chair where it's either push, it's either contend with the pain and deliver and be over with it, or die. A woman in the middle of delivery has to push. She has to deal with the pain, overcome it, and deal. Have control and deal. And if she doesn't, she endangers her life. So Hashem is comparing Ephraim to a son who isn't smart, who doesn't take into account that there will come a time where he will need the strength to deliver, so to speak. Ki et lo yamod b'mishbar banim. Because he will not be able to stand up to the mishbar. Mishbar is like mashber. Mashber is the birthing stone. The reason it's called mashber is because it was a big stone. The woman would put her two thighs on the two sides of the stone, and in the middle there was a crack through which the baby would come out. And the advantage was that she could push her feet against the birthing stone. She'd have the support. And it didn't give way, obviously. And in the middle, in between, the baby would come out. Now, because it had a crack in the middle, like this big crack, it was like a heart, like a V-shape, the stone. So it was called a mashber, the stone. Mashber means broken stone. Mashber is the stone that she'd sit on to deliver. So Hashem says they won't be able to stand up to Mishbar, the birthing stone that gives banim, that gives a future. A person has to have the capacity to stand up to troubled times in order to overcome those troubled times, to live through, to see the future. When they have troubled times, they won't be able to overcome them. Their sins will catch up to them, and then they won't have the strength to stand up to the troubles that find them. Miyad she'ol lefdeim. Hashem says, in the past, I always redeemed them from perdition. Mimavet egalem. And in the past, I redeemed them from death. But when the time comes that they'll reach capacity of sin, at that point, Ehi devarecha mavet. I will declare upon you death, Hashem says. When the time comes that you filled your capacity of sin, then I will no longer be there to save you, but quite the contrary, I will be the one declaring death. Ehi katovcha she'ol nocham yisater me'inai. I will be the one declaring you should be cut off to perdition. Ehi, I will be katovcha, the one that declares you should be cut off. She'ol, to perdition, nocham, yisatel me'enai, any capacity for comfort will be hidden from me. Hashem says there won't be any capacity for comfort. At that point, it's going to be over. Ki hu bein achim yafri. Because originally, Ephraim used to grow and flourish among brothers. He was like the son who was flourishing. Ki hu, for he, ben achim, among brothers, yafri, he was the one that was flourishing. Yavo kadim, but an eastern wind comes, Ruach Adonai mimidbar ole. God's wind, God's eastern wind, comes to dry out the fruit, comes out from the desert. V'yivosh mikoro v'yechirav mayano. And the source, the stream from which the tree drinks, will be dried. Hu yish se. He will be looted. Otzal kol kli chemda. That wind will loot and destroy all the storage houses of everything precious that he's had. And this is a mashal for the Assyrian Empire that will come and, so to speak, dry out the northern 10 tribes of all good that they had. Te'sham Shomron kimareta be'loheha. Hashem says, and Shomron will be desolate. Te'sham is from the word Shemama. Kimareta be'loheha. For she was rebellious against her God. Shomron is the capital of the northern 10 tribes. Bacherev yipolu. They will fall by the sword. Olelehem yerutashu. Their children, their babies, will be broken on stones. Their children will be murdered brutally. V'ariyotav yevukahu. And their pregnant women will be sliced open. When the enemy, the Assyrian enemy, entered the land of Israel, they had no mercy over babies or pregnant women. They couldn't care. They'd kill the baby while he's still in his mother's stomach. Just stick a knife down her stomach and kill her and the baby at the same time. Hashem says, this is the destruction that awaits the northern 10 tribes. They shouldn't think that I'm being silent and I'm forgoing everything. There's a limit, and that limit will be reached. And so Hashem says, Shuva Yisrael ad Adonai Elohecha. Please return, Israel. Come back. Hashem continuously awaits. Return. Return to me. Ki chashalta ba'avonecha. For you have stumbled over your sins. Your stumbling is your sins. There's no reason you should stumble. You could still stand upright. Hashem says it's all contingent on you. Shuva, return. And Bezrat Hashem, all these decrees will not come true. And we'll pick up here Bezrat Hashem next time. Yes, sir.